Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to follow along with me in your Bible today, you can turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I have a message for us that is very urgent. Very urgent, very critical. This is something that I pray the Spirit of God will reveal to all of us and cause us to truly understand and truly enter into. We're going to read a few verses of Scripture here in Romans chapter 8, and then we're going to turn over to another verse that will perfectly summarize what's being said right here. And again, I want to stress to us, let's try to enter into what the Word of God is saying, because this is so critical. Every soul needs to know this. Every soul needs to understand this. In Romans 8, let's read verses 32 to 34. It says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." He said in verse 32, God the Father spared not his own son. And I wish we could enter into that the way it deserves to be entered into. God the Father spared not his own son. God the Father, it says, delivered him up. In verse 34, he said, it is Christ that died. It is Christ that is risen again, he said. And he said, it is Christ who is right now at the right hand of God. And he said, it is Christ who is currently making intercession for us, currently making intercession for his people. Now, this is an urgent, urgent message, an urgent message. I pray God will reveal this to us today, today. I pray that today is the day he reveals this to our hearts. One verse of Scripture perfectly summarizes what we just read. And that verse is in 1 Timothy 2. If you want to turn with me there, we'll read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, first, we need to get a hold of the fact that there's one God. Men have all of these gods made up in their minds of who they think the true and living God is, but they've made him up in their mind, and it's not in agreement with his word. Therefore, it's a false God. It's another God. Even this man Jesus that a lot of people talk about. They talk about Jesus, but the Jesus they talk about is not in agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ of Scripture. Therefore, he's another Jesus. There is one true and living God, and he has declared who he is in his word. And the only way that we can worship the true and living God is if we worship the God of the Scripture. The God as He has declared Himself to be in His own Word. So that's where we start. There's one God. And then there is one mediator between the holy God and sinful man. Only one mediator. And that is the man, Christ Jesus. Now, what is a mediator? We say there's only one mediator, and our Lord Jesus Christ is that mediator. What is a mediator? Well, it's a person who reconciles two people who are at odds with each other. You know how it is. Two people, you know, they were friends, but something happened, and they became separated. They became at odds with each other. A mediator is a person who brings two people who are in a conflict, two people who are in a disagreement with each other, two people who are severed from each other, severed from fellowship with each other, severed from communication with each other, severed from unity with each other. A mediator is a person who brings those two people back together. That's what a mediator does. He brings those two people back together. He restores their love for each other. He restores their fellowship with each other. He restores their oneness. He restores their happiness together. That's what a mediator is. Now, every person on this earth is a sinner. And I know that that is a shocking thing to hear, especially if you don't hear that too often. I'll start with me. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Whether we realize it or not, every person on this earth is a sinner. Some know that and will admit it. I do. I admit it to you. Some know that and will admit it. Some know that but won't admit it. They know it in their mind. They know what goes through the mind. You know what goes through your mind. You know what is in your heart when somebody wrongs you and you want to lash out at them. And some people know they're sinners, but they won't admit it to people. And when the question is asked, are you a sinner? Really, are you a sinner? They'll say, well, no, not really. So some know it and will admit it. Some know it and won't admit it. Some, in absolute ignorance and blindness, they don't know it. They just can't see it in themselves. They just don't see any sin in themselves. They don't see any wrong in themselves. It's still there. Whether they see it or not, it's still there. God's Word says so. So every person on this earth is a sinner according to the Word of God, according to the flesh, according to fact. The Scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. None are exempt. None are excused. All. All have sinned. And that sin has severed every person on this earth from God. This is what's so critical that we need to understand. By nature, in the flesh, as we are born into this world, we are severed from God. We are severed from God in this sinful flesh. We are severed from the glory of God. This is how we come into the world. We are severed from His love. I know that people say God loves everybody, but God's Word does not declare that. I know people say that God is for everybody and God has a wonderful plan for everybody, but God's Word does not say that. Men may say that, but God has not said that. What God says in His Word, when we read His Word, is all flesh enters the world severed from God. Severed from His love, severed from His fellowship. Adam and Eve had fellowship with God. They walked in the garden with God until Adam sinned and Eve sinned. And God cast them out. And at that moment, fellowship was severed. We are severed from His way. Man has his own way now, and it's not God's way. Our sin has severed us from a heart and a desire for Him, as He has declared Himself to be in His Word. Not the way we have Him made up in our mind, but it's severed our hearts and our desire from the God that is declared in the Word. The Scripture says, He came unto His own people. And it says, His own received Him not. The Scripture says, every soul on this earth, including us, we're souls on this earth, every soul on this earth in the flesh despised Him and rejected Him. That's how the flesh is toward God, sinful flesh toward a holy God. The Scripture says, sinful flesh hated Him, hates Him. Sinful flesh is what spit on Him and cursed Him. Now, you talk about at odds. You want to talk about being at odds with God, being in a conflict, being in a separation. Man is separated so much so that the Scripture says, even concerning God's people, especially concerning God's people, it says all of them in the flesh, because of sin, the way they came into this world, all of them were ungodly. Think about that. Ungodly. That's what Romans 5 says. Christ died for His people even when they were ungodly. Now that's at odds. And here's what all this means. You see why I'm saying this is so critical. Here is what this means. Whether we realize it or not, we may not realize it. Some watching right now may have no idea of this. I'm here to tell you that this is what we need. We need a mediator. That's what I need, and that's what you need. We need a mediator. Our only hope of being spared God's wrath against our sin and His punishment of us for this conflict that we have created with Him, this rebellion that we have created against Him, this separation that we chose to have against Him. That's what the flesh chooses. Our only hope of being spared God's absolute wrath against us and being reunited back to Him is we need a mediator. We need a mediator. If we're going to have fellowship with Him for an eternity to come, in His love and in His favor, we need a mediator. We need a mediator who will appease God's wrath for us, appease Him, satisfy Him. We need a mediator who will make peace with Him for us. We need a mediator who will go to Him on our behalf. And standing right there in His presence, will plead for us. Plead on our behalf and make intercession for us. Crying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what we need. That's what we need. We need a mediator who will do that and can do that, is able to do that. One who is both willing and able to reconcile us back to God. Well, listen to this, all right? Here's the gospel. The gospel means good news. Here's the good news. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 says, there is one. There is one. There is one. There is one. One. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The Apostle John wrote, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And, he didn't say but, he said and, knowing that we're all sinners, all have sinned. He said, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There is one. One advocate, one mediator, only one, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. Look with me, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 2. Over in Ephesians 2, this is what verse 11 says. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Meaning, and I'm a Gentile, I'm not even a Jew, just even physically speaking. I have no claim on God. There's nothing that gives me any right to His favor. I'm a heathen. I'm an outcast. Verse 12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, in this one man, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You who were so far off, so separated, you are now brought near again, made nigh, made near by the reconciling blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says, for He is our peace, who hath made both one. What does that mean? That He has made both one. That means He has joined Himself to us, made Himself to be one with us, and that's how He brought us back to God, and He's made us to be one with Him. Verse 14 says, He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity. That word enmity means the hatred, the rebellion. He abolished it. He broke down that wall between God and His enemies, those who tried to be the enemies of God and were by nature the enemies of God. Verse 15 says, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, by uniting Himself with our enmity, our sin, and taking the punishment for us, that all of God's chosen enemies, sinners, people, everything they were owed, everything they were supposed to receive, by Christ uniting Himself with our enmity. In doing that, He united us with His peace. He is in perfect peace with the Father. We by nature are at enmity, at odds, separated. He is in unity, in peace, in favor with God the Father. And in being united with Him, He made us to be in perfect peace with the Father. As He is, so are we. As we are, He made Himself to be. So was He. And because of that, as He is now, so are we. Verse 15 right here says, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And He came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. That is a mediator. That is our mediator. That is the only mediator that there is. The only mediator. Man thinks that he can be his own mediator. Now let me bring up the criticalness of this message again. Let me remind us how critical this is. Because men and women naturally believe, people naturally believe, that they can be their own mediator to God. They believe they can go to God on their own behalf. They believe they can plead to God on their own behalf. They believe they can appease God on their own behalf. Man thinks that he can go right his own wrongs. Man thinks that he can reconcile his own sin. But here's the thing. If a man tries to approach God on his own merit and on his own works, after he realizes that every righteousness that he brings, that means good deed, after he realizes that God sees it all to be filthy rags and will not accept it, after man realizes that, not only will he not be able to mediate for himself, but now he's standing before God without a mediator at all. And the man who does that is going to receive the same judgment from God the Father that Christ received. What Christ received, going to his Father as us, a man outside of Christ will receive on his own. That same judgment, that same punishment. Christ is our example that you do not want to go before God in your own sin. You want a mediator to go for you. You want a mediator to suffer that judgment for you. Well, there is one. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. If you turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or to know, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That means God did not acknowledge our sins to be on us. God acknowledged our sins to be on Christ instead of us for every soul that he chose. Verse 21 right here says, for he hath made him, the Father made Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. He never committed it. And God made him to be that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what it took for Christ to be our mediator. That's what it took for him to reconcile us back to God. He gave up His own standing with the Father so we could have it in His place. He took our standing from us so that He could have it in our place. And He cried from the cross while He was reconciling us, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" It's because He was our mediator. He was our substitute. Now let's read in closing Romans 8 one more time. It says in Romans 8, verse 32, these are the verses we opened with. It says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all." And who is He talking about, us all? He's about to tell us God's elect. Every soul God chose, all of them, none of them shall be lost. "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God." That means the seat of honor. "Who also maketh intercession for us." There is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, let's all cry out to Him. There's one mediator. And I'm telling us right now, in our hearts, cry out to Him. You have one hope. There is one mediator. Cry out, "Lord, mediate for me. Mediate for me." He said, "All who ask shall receive." He said, "Him that comes to me, I'll in no wise cast out." Cry out to the mediator. Till next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.